Bless our time together as we remember again the still unfolding story of your love, a love that comes to dwell among us, a love that surprises and disrupts, a love that reveals the way of liberation. May it be so among us. Good afternoon, and welcome to our service of lessons and carols. Thank you all for joining us, whether in the church or on Zoom this afternoon. Following the traditional set pattern of 9 lessons and 9 carols, this year we have taken the readings from the New International Version of the Bible. The lessons will be read by members of the congregation who we do not normally hear reading on a Sunday morning, and we thank them for their involvement. The choir will sing 3 carols themselves, which will allow for some reflection. The order of service will flow from one item to the next. So without further ado, let us start this service with a carol that started off as a poem written for children. It is a song that had humble beginnings, but now holds a place of prominence each year and is a timeless reminder of the gospel message of Christmas. We sing together number 315, Once in Royal David's City.
In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Beloved in Christ, in this season of Advent, as we await Christmas, let us prepare ourselves so that we may be shown its true meaning. Let us hear in lessons from Holy Scripture how the prophets of Israel foretold that God would visit and redeem the waiting people. Let us rejoice in our carols and hymns that the good purpose of God is being mightily fulfilled. Let us celebrate the promise that our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, will bring all peoples and all things into the glory of God's eternal kingdom. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. But first, let us pray for the world that God so loves, for those who have not heard the good news of God, or who do not believe it. For those who walk in darkness and the shadow of death, and for the church in this place and everywhere, that it may be freed from all evil and fear, and may in pure joy lift up the light of the love of God. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer to God in the words that Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The birth of the Messiah is foretold. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God. The next carol is number 303. It came upon the midnight clear.
The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of the brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Thanks be to God.
An angel appears to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Thanks be to God.
An angel appears to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High Lord. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Thanks be to God.
Bill mentioned this morning in his sermon that a former minister of this parish usually had, or always had, 3 points in his sermon. There are 3 points in the reflections this afternoon. Two women were dressed in their finest and having lunch together in a very exclusive restaurant. A friend saw them and came over to their table to greet them. "What's the special occasion?" she asked. One of the women said, "We're having a birthday party for the young baby in our family. He's 2 years old today." "But where's the baby?" the friend asked. The child's mother answered, "Oh, I dropped him off at my mother's until the party's over. It wouldn't have been much fun with him here." Ridiculous. Birthday celebration for a child who wasn't welcome at his own party. Yet, when you stop to think about it, it's no more foolish than going through the Christmas season with all of its festivities without remembering the one whose birth we are supposed to be honouring. Unfortunately, that's the way many people celebrate Christmas these days. In all the busyness, the party going, maybe not this year of course, the gift buying and family gatherings, the one whose birthday we are commemorating is almost completely forgotten. As we move into this holiday season, in all of our good times with family and friends, please make sure you don't leave out the Lord Jesus. Give him the honour he deserves. One wintry day, a man was walking down the street, might even have been walking through Tayfield, and noticed some grain on the ground. Some sparrows were having an unscheduled feast. As the man took a step forward towards the birds, they became uneasy. Another step and their nervousness increased. When he was almost upon them, they suddenly flew away. For a few moments, the man stood there reflecting on what had happened. Why had the sparrows scattered in flight? He meant them no harm. Then he realized he was too big. Another question came to his mind. How could he walk among those birds without frightening them? It would only be possible to become a sparrow and fly down among them. And of course, there's a spiritual analogy here. In the Old Testament times, God appeared to people in various ways. To Abraham through the heavenly messengers, to Moses out of the burning bush, and so on. They were afraid because of God's awesomeness. Centuries later, however, the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds and announced, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Yes, Jesus became a man so that we would not be afraid to draw near him. An artist was painting a winter scene. Snow blanketed the ground and the pine trees. Night was falling, and the landscape was enveloped in semi-darkness. A log cabin was barely visible in the shadows. The whole scene was one of gloom. Then the artist used some yellow tints to put the cheerful glow of a lamp in one of the cabin windows. That lone light, its golden rays reflecting on the snow, completely transformed the impression given by the painting. In contrast to the cold darkness of the surrounding forest, that light in the window created a warm feeling of love and security. What happened on that canvas is a striking portrayal of one of the most dramatic events in all history. When Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, a light was placed in this sin-darkened world. The Apostle John testified, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men," as we heard earlier on from Leslie. During this season, as we commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus, let's be mindful of how much brighter this world is because he came into it. Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." How has Jesus brightened your life? Amen.
The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Thanks be to God. The next carol is number 296, "While Humble Shepherds watched their flocks. Magi are led by a star. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them when the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. the flight from Egypt to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Thanks be to God.
Chris was a bit too modest there to let me step in and thank not only him but the other 8 readers for their participation this afternoon. Hopefully you haven't been unduly daunted by it, and I'm sure none of the rest of us have either. Thank you to the choir, and thank you to the technical people at the back. I know we're having 1 or 2 difficulties here, and those on Zoom are struggling a little as well for sound, but I'm sure it won't detract unduly from the meaning of Christmas. Let us all close with a prayer. May the Father, who has loved the eternal Son from before the foundation of the world, shed that love on us, his children. May Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fills us with joy and peace. Be the Holy Spirit, by whose overshadowing Mary became the God-bearer. Give us grace to carry the good news of Christ this Advent time and forevermore.